This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
This is another podcast of World Wide Web, the international LGBT news and current affairs show. Every week on Australia's first LGBT radio station, Joy 94.9.
Surfing the globe, bringing you news, views, and current affairs for the LGBT community. This is the World Wide Wave.
Good evening. It is World Wide Wave time, Joy's international news and current affairs show. We take you around the globe, one country at a time. What a fantastic show on The Informer tonight, covering the big news of the day in Canberra with the plebiscite dead and buried. Well done to David and the team. In the studio tonight with me, hello, Paul.
Hello.
Sarah's here.
Hello, hello.
Dean's back.
It's good to be back.
And I am Matt. Now, this year has not been a good one for Indonesia's LGBT community. We have already covered this once, this sudden surge in anti-gay rhetoric, but it has not at all subsided. If anything, it's actually got worse.
Tonight we're going to look at how did the Facebook rainbow flag filter turn from a celebration to a verbal assault on the LGBT community?
Is circulating an erotic book in Indonesia throwing oil onto an already hot fire?
And how can you, here in Melbourne, help out our Indonesian LGBT neighbours? Sometimes it only takes the power of one to bring change, and tonight we speak with Alda, an artist and author of the fanzine Penhatum Erotica, who is using words and pictures to battle against the anti-gay rhetoric. Here's a taste of what you have coming up tonight.
Yeah, but sometimes there also would be nothing going on, but then suddenly like heaps of things going on. Like it's a mass panic thing, so it's hot and cold kind of thing.
Worldwide Wrap, LGBT news from around the world, scanning the globe for stories for the diverse gay and lesbian communities from Australia's Joy 94.9. This is the Worldwide Wrap.
Now, first off to Cameroon. In an incident with shades of the Tasty nightclub raid that we had here in 1994, a gay bar in Cameroon was raided by police this weekend and all of the people inside were arrested. Homosexuality is illegal in Cameroon, with gay men living in fear of sentences of up to 5 years in jail.
So they're not going to be able to, fight the government and claim back a whole bucket of money for illegal arrest or anything like we had here?
No.
No.
But the bar is not advertised as a gay venue, because of those laws, obviously, and it was really seen as a safe haven for the area's LGBTI community. Following the blockade, police officers entered the bar, informed customers they were all under arrest, and so some people called it a hostage situation.
In fact, they went searching right through the bar, looking for people hiding, and when people were trying to escape out the back, they had a truck parked out the back door waiting to collect them.
Yeah, it remains unclear how many people were eventually arrested, which gives you the fear of people going missing. But some activists claim it was dozens, and at this stage it's also unclear what police plan to charge them with.
We'll keep an eye on that one. Across to Tonga now. Tonga's LGBTI community is calling on government leaders to revise legislation in order to protect them. It's the Leti's Association, Tonga's Leti Association, is planning a national consultation with government leaders in December of this year to petition for change to the Criminal Offences Act. So this act criminalises, it's the sodomy laws, but it also puts cross-dressing in there as well, with punishment of up to 10 years in prison. They're looking to approach religious leaders in Tonga to be a part of this consultation. And this is actually one of the outcomes, or I guess been inspired by the periodic reviews that we've talked about here before by the United Nations on Tonga, and they had their last one in 2013, which recommended the decriminalisation of homosexuality, amongst other changes within the country.
Over in Russia, some good news, well, sort of good news. A well-known furniture company that was based in Sweden.
And has those little keys to put everything together.
Yeah, yeah, don't you just love those? And the bits are always left over when you've finished. They've been running a face for the cover. Now, that sort of loses something in translation. It's been running for 7 years, and they invite people to model for the front of their catalogue.
So it's like,
an annual catalogue as well. That's it.
So you could be the face on you the front of the catalogue.
Of that company's catalogue.
That one.
Yes. They were voting online, and the leading models were actually a gay couple that were cuddling at a dining table.
Aww.
Last week they had over 75,000 votes. I say last they had because they've actually now pulled out.
Really?
Yes, the spokesman for that company in Russia announced that the couple had withdrawn. You can't see the inverted commas that I've just did in the air.
The air inverted commas. Did they say why?
Reason given was the amount of media attention they were receiving, which in Russia probably is...
It probably wasn't favourable.
Yes. So there has been a push by young people in Russia to actually get these two as the front, and there were over 20,000 followers of a straight alliance for LGBT equality that were voting in favour of the same-sex couple.
Well, it's still a positive that there's people speaking up for LGBT as visibility in Russia.
Sort of a positive... But not quite.
Now, over to the UK. Public Health England has released a report on HIV transmission, following confirmation a year ago that transmissions among gay and bisexual men have actually reached a new record high. We've been talking about this a few times.
This is a bit worrying, isn't it?
It's very worrying. So of the 6,000 plus people newly infected with HIV last year, 3,000 were gay, bisexual and other men who have sex with men. Which is a failure to cut transmissions from the previous year's high by basically 40 people. So it confirms that more gay men are now being diagnosed with HIV every year than at any point since records began.
Oh dear. In fact, in total, there's 88,700 people living with diagnosed HIV and accessing HIV care, and more than 18,000 people living undiagnosed in the UK at the moment.
Yeah, so they're not getting their 90-90-90.
Definitely not.
Sexual health campaigners have cited cuts to HIV prevention services, a lack of HIV education and awareness, and the failure of NHS England to greenlight PrEP as some key factors in these out-of-control transmission rates.
Oh, a few common themes here with Australia, I think. We will also keep an eye on that. The report also found that 39% of people were diagnosed late, which means at that point they are likely to have had the virus for more than 3 years. So if you are serious about ending HIV, that is not the approach to have.
In brief, Austria plans to upgrade the status of same-sex civil unions, but still stop short of declaring them as marriages.
Cyprus has held its first ever same-sex marriage. Yay! As a gay couple wed on a British army base in the Mediterranean country.
And in the Philippines, the Speaker of the House of Representatives has said he will file a bill to legalise marriage equality in that country. And that's a wrap.
That's your Worldwide Wrap. Keep up with LGBT news from around the world throughout the week. Like us on Facebook, Worldwide Wave, or visit joy.org.au/worldwidewave.
I am Bisi Alimi from Nigeria. For those who say homosexuality is a Western import to Africa, I am a proof that you can be proudly African and gay and fabulous. And I'm on Worldwide Wave.
Taking you around the globe, one country at a time. This is your Fun Fast Facts.
And tonight we are in Indonesia. Now, this is a country, it's one of the largest Muslim countries in the world and one of the very few to not criminalise homosexuality or same-sex relations.
But?
At this stage.
Yes. There's a big
conditions
but there.
Conditions apply.
That's it.
Yeah, so the law currently does not stipulate that. Same-sex couple households headed by same-sex people are not eligible, though, for any legal protections that their opposite-sex partners are entitled to.
Yeah, the biggest legal discriminations they get are actually from the provinces which are allowed to enact Islamic-based laws. So in Aceh, which I think we've heard about quite a bit, and South Sumatra, they have criminalised same-sex sexual acts, as well as zina, which is sexual relations outside of marriage. So any adulterer can be...
publicly flogged.
Yeah.
But that, to challenge that, that only does apply to Muslims in those areas.
Which is most people in those areas.
It is,
so
yes.
Human rights are still being...
I'm trying to give them a bit of leeway.
Being trampled on, you know.
the anti-gay or the promoting homosexuality push that has come up in Russia and the like is also taking hold, with the government looking to censor films and any other sorts of media that is deemed to be, quote, promoting homosexuality. They announced plans in just this year to ban several LGBT websites and computer applications.
Well, bear in mind that kissing is usually censored in films in Indonesia.
Same-sex kissing?
Kissing full stop.
Kissing full stop.
It's a bit like India in that respect. It's seen as being a bit, you know, a bit unseemly.
Currently, there are no political parties in Indonesia that openly support LGBT right movements, although some officials have defended the LGBT community.
And in fact, there are a lot of religious pressure groups, especially from Islamic organisations, that are not only attempting to stop any progress, but actually make changes in the current laws to take LGBT rights backwards. So we'll hear about that a bit more tonight.
The LGBT rights movement in Indonesia, there is one. It started in 1982, and currently there are over 30 LGBT groups in Indonesia, and Indonesia even hosted a 2006 summit on LGBT rights. So there is something going there, but as more and more influential Western countries legalise same-sex marriage, it both increased discourse in Indonesia and also caused a lot of backlash against LGBT groups who they argue quite strongly they do not fight for marriage equality, but just seek fundamental human rights of security, freedom from fear and freedom to assembly.
They've got a few things stacked against them, though. The Indonesian Psychiatric Association still classifies homosexuality, bisexuality and transgenderism as mental disorders. So they're kind of a few years behind us all. We are talking Indonesia tonight. You're on World Wide Wave.
Hello, I'm Micaela, the producer of El Hombre Nuevo, speaking from Uruguay for World Wide Wave.
This year, 2016, has seen a sudden and significant rise in verbal attacks from very high-profile people against Indonesia's LGBT community. Earlier this year, we spoke to leading LGBT activist Didi Utomo from Gaya Nusantara in Indonesia. And here's a brief reminder of what has been going on in Indonesia this year.
I mean, I was warned, I remember, by my good friend, the lawyer, Nusha Bandikatasangana, in the 90s already, that this is coming. And well, I did heed the warning, and I looked at what's happening in Parliament. But a lot of Parliament is lazy, and there's not much money, I think, to be made by revising the criminal code, but you never know. I mean, if there's a big funder, most of our parliamentarians are corrupt. If you don't give them, session money, they're not going to pass the bill. Although if they find this to be convenient and useful for their purposes, they will pass it. So we take it seriously. What is encouraging is actually the resistance. There is a caucus in Parliament called the Pancasila Caucus. Pancasila is I don't have an idea how strong it is, but it's there. Top human rights lawyers have actually condemned the potential, well, certainly the discriminatory rhetoric and the potential human rights violations. You know, freedom of expression, certainly freedom of assembly, and you know, basically your right to life. Some people might be killed. But, you know, we have to look at this as part of a whole series of intolerance toward religious minorities, Ahmadi, Shiite Christians, and in Christian areas, Sunni Muslims, toward survivors of 65. So anybody who's marginal in Indonesia should be worried. There is talk amongst people who are more savvy about this that the next target will be women, I mean the feminists. You can already see it, you know. One flash mob, you know, 1 billion rising in Yogyakarta, I mean, against the violence against women, was attacked by some Islamist mob the other day. So this is the whole scheme of actually the old forces, ironically called the New Order, trying to take back what they lost in 98.
That was LGBT activist Didi Utomo from Indonesia. Coming up, we speak to Eldi, a Melbourne-based artist and author of the zine
Penehitama Erotica.
I told you.
I know, it's a tricky one.
It's a tricky one. I mean, English is a tricky language for me anyway, full stop. How she's helping the LGBT community in Indonesia from afar.
This is Samuel from Kenya on Wild Wide Wave.
We are in Indonesia tonight. A few messages coming in now from Florence. The plebiscite has been delayed. Welcome to the weird Australian politics where greyhound racing has more power than human rights.
Well said, Florence.
Well done, Florence. Love it. And one in from Hoffler on Facebook. That's W3Joy on Facebook. About the decision today. They delayed it thus far. A controversial decision. Is it controversial? Wasn't that unexpected, I don't think.
The plebiscite being delayed. They've been hinting at it for a long time that they weren't going to vote for it. It would have been very difficult for the opposition to walk back from the statements they've made in the last few weeks and say, surprise, we're for it. So
it will be very interesting as to where this debate now goes, whether it goes on ice, which I don't think it will, or whether there's some other mechanism.
I think it will do. I think it will take a back seat.
I think the government very much wants it to.
It might take a back seat from the government point of view. It certainly won't take a back seat from the public or the LGBT community.
You know, if they had have done something about this a little bit earlier, it wouldn't become the canker sore. It will be for Malcolm Turnbull.
I don't think the told you so argument will go down too well in Canberra.
I just think that this is going to run and run and run and be such an ongoing distraction. That's my prediction. Cross my palm with silver and who knows what else I'll tell you.
Now, as you've been listening, we're in Indonesia tonight where the repressive dialogue from really senior public figures, both government and religious, is causing a lot of concern. However, there's one person here in Melbourne who's determined to fight back with words and pictures. Alda is an artist and author of the zine Pena Hitam Erotica that has been produced since 2012. I didn't even know zines were around then. I'm a bit behind. Yeah. We asked Alda to tell us about her connection to Indonesia and its LGBT community.
I'm Indonesian. I'm here as an international student, but I'm part of the LGBT community. And some of my friends are working for LGBT activist group. And we also been organizing with Aris Pelangi. It's an LGBT non-profit organization from Indonesia that has been doing heaps of advocacy projects and safe house projects and hotline projects for LGBT communities and individuals in danger. But let's say they were like being attacked, they can call these hotlines and ask for either support or like shelter, or depends on what they need.
There have been a lot of high-profile people speaking out against the LGBT community in Indonesia. Mm-hmm. What are you hearing from your friends about how this is affecting their lives?
Sometimes when it's completely, like, on heat, some of them would feel in danger, but sometimes there also would be, like, nothing going on, but then suddenly, like, heaps of things going on. Like, it's a mass panic thing, so it's, like, hot and cold kind of thing. But a lot of times it's just people are just, like, feeling more afraid as just LGBT individuals, because now there's just been basically, like, mass panic. So people just either be on this side or that side, they're being either like thinking like, oh, this is infection from Western culture, or they're just being part of the LGBT community and know completely that it's complete bullshit that the government just believes. But that's what the government keep on like telling people, and not only government, but like bigger religious groups that are just terrified of this, what they call Western influence, which is of course not true.
I heard a story about the rainbow filter on Facebook, and it had got a lot of attention.
Yeah, that's kind of like the dark, not, well, it's not comedy at all, but like the irony of it. It begins with like the rainbow filters on Facebook, and people start using them, and a lot of apparently Indonesian people that using the rainbow filters doesn't really realize that it's for like showing support for LGBT community, and after that they just feel betrayed. That apparently that is for showing symbols of support for LGBT communities. And then they just have this really late realization that it is to support LGBT rights. Yeah, after that, they feel like being deceived, and then there's this panic between governments. And it's all of these panics basically mainly started in the beginning of this January, 2016. So after the rainbow filters, and then after that, people just realizing that this is for supporting LGBT communities. And the government and a lot of groups just basically realizing, thinking that this is the way the Western culture is trying to spread their propaganda to Indonesia. There's like many conspiration theory about this, but it's just like massive miscommunication, which turns into like a mass panic and attack. It's ridiculous, but it's true. So yeah, those rainbow filters, basically one of the things that start this absurd panic in Indonesia.
Now, you have a zine, you're the author of a zine, which is Penahitam Erotica. Tell us a little bit about that, because you're launching that as a part of your event here in Melbourne.
The zine itself, the contents, there's erotic illustrations from internationally selected artists, but we are focusing 80% from Indonesian artists, so it's showing more like local art and everything. But the theme is more like showing open expressions of sexuality in Indonesia, because we think right now the Muslim government is getting stronger in Indonesia, and they're trying to show as if it is not part of our culture to be like sexually open and to be like gender like free, but it is in our culture. That's what we want to express in this zine. It is already in our culture since the indigenous times that we are always been sexually free. Like, we always have been various genders, but it just has been erased and completely like suppressed by the bigoted colonial and like after colonies and the government. So all of those histories just been like methodically erased. So we just want to start opening that up again, like start, like we just don't want that there is like too many silence on the other side, which is like the more sexually free people. So we just want to encourage people to just like start thinking about their sexuality again and expressing it to their art. So basically the zine, like about 70% of that is illustrations of eroticas from Indonesian artists. And other than that, we have interview with Apollonia St. Clair. And we have interview with Ayu Utami, which is like a really prominent female writer in Indonesia since the military regime time. So we have like, we also discuss about like the current like uprising against against LGBT in Indonesia and everything about that with Ayu Utami in the interview as well. So that and like short stories and all that.
Given that there is this repression about sexuality in Indonesia at the moment, how is your zine received locally there?
Nah, we were thinking that it's gonna get, our friends are already like preparing themselves to get arrested. We already prepare our base camp to be, you know, changed and stuff like that. But apparently, so far, there's nothing. Well, in the interview with Ayu Utami, we talk about this as well, and her opinion was like, oh, for erotica, it's kind of chill because the government doesn't read literature.
Right.
So far, she has been proven to be true. Like, she has been writing erotica, political erotica, since 1998. And she hasn't been having, like, massive backlash as, like, you know, whatever, like, Playboy magazine or, like, the gay magazines in Indonesia, because probably there are not much pictures in it. So probably it's because it's like contained long text, and you know, our stuff is also very limited. We only have like 550 copies. So I don't know. Somehow it didn't reach them. Or what we did have a request of interview from a national magazine, but we haven't responded to that yet because we haven't finished with all our things.
That's Elder, an artist and zine author currently in Melbourne. Speaking of the lack of the negative response to her literary erotica in Indonesia, which is quite interesting. I love that line. So she's producing this zine. The government doesn't read literature. So
it's got no pictures in it, so they're not interested.
Well, actually, her stuff does.
It's got a lot of pictures, very good pictures too, extremely detailed.
Wow.
Yeah, I'm so used to stuff being whipped up in 10 minutes on an iMac that I'm really impressed by the stuff that she does. But I loved what she said about those sweet, innocent
the rainbow
Indonesians.
Filter. Oh, look at all the pretty colours. Let's put that on my Facebook profile. And then, of course, somebody piped up and said, that's immoral, da-da-da, and then everybody was like shocked.
They're like, oh, but it's just an innocent rainbow.
Not any longer, it isn't.
Oh, indeed. This really interesting comment she made about things being hot and cold. So a lot of the time, nothing's happening. You can go about your business doing whatever you want. Nobody really cares. And it seems to be when a high-profile person speaks up, when they jump into the media about an issue, then it drives this panic, mass panic, she called it, this flood of anti-LGBT rhetoric.
That is probably true. I mean,
it's almost African in some ways.
But can I just say, I don't think that's very dissimilar to Australia.
Yeah, I don't think that's that unusual from anywhere, really.
I saw a great hashtag on Facebook a few weeks back, which had me laughing. Someone was talking about, it was a person on a train, and they were older, and they were doing like kind of that pole climbing on the train where they suspend their body in a kind of horizontal way to show how fit they are.
Yep.
And someone said, imagine the fuss if someone at the age of like 20 was doing this from all these people. And the hashtag was hysterical hand-wringing. And that has stayed with me ever since, because even if you go to the ABC Facebook page, it's for the ABC News, just the comments, people are freaked out about everything. So I don't know if it's that dissimilar, really.
I think it's the difference between speaking up and using your democratic right and turning that into actions, because there are some attacks and certainly persecution and certainly discrimination against the Indonesian community and Indonesia's LGBT community. So it's taken it that extra step.
I would certainly agree that they're not quite at the stage we are, but in terms of the online hysteria, there's a lot of hysteria in Australia as well online. You know, but then again, maybe not quite so much. We know what a rainbow filter is.
Indeed. We are talking all things Indonesia tonight here. You're on World Wide Wave.
Want to hear more? Find out about LGBT life in over 100 countries. Download free podcasts of this show. Subscribe to iTunes or follow us on Twitter. Visit joy.org.au/worldwidewave.
This is Mahida from Nigeria, and you are on World Wide Wave.
Message in various parts, but 317 has message in regarding our plebiscite and same-sex marriage issues here, that we are being used as political pawns, and that, in fact, all the sides are pathetic on this issue. Kind of have to agree. There's not a
really
single
argue with that,
major
yeah.
party that hasn't sort of played games with this topic. It should have gone through. If the politicians were representing their electorates, then there has been in every poll for the past 9 years a majority supporting same-sex marriage. So
we've been speaking to Olda, and she has been telling us about some of the resistance by local Indonesian artists against the LGBT attacks. Given her zine looks at erotic words and images, and the current regime over in Indonesia is repressing such things, we ask Elda how her zine has been received locally in Indonesia.
In Indonesia, to basically getting more networks, getting more alliance, because that's what we need. Because next year, this is going to get even more scary. My friend's been telling me that they're trying to push to incriminalize casual sex, and also being an LGBT individual is also going to be criminalized. Like, it is still in the process of establishing, but we're just trying to prepare if they win, and if starting from casual sex or being a lesbian, gay, transgender, or any kind of, like, gender and sexuality is criminalized, we're just trying to, like, have some first steps preparing for that. I know, like, this one is probably, like, quite a small attempt because we are also just an independent magazine collective. But we just want to participate in creating the first steps to shelter our friends, shelter our families, and somehow trying to protect them from the upcoming storm, which hopefully doesn't happen, but it's most likely going to happen.
And one of those ways that you're helping is running a fundraiser here in Melbourne this
yes.
week. Tell us a bit about mm-hmm. what people can expect at the event.
There's going to be an exhibition, of course. There's going to be stalls of merchandises that you can buy, and all the proceeds from the night are going to be sent to Aris Pelangi for their project of education and safe houses if they need it, and hotlines. There's going to be also, like, live music, DJs. It's going to be a kinky dance party, basically. And there's also going to be... Yeah, well, I thought, like, all right, this is a fundraising for a very depressing cause, but we don't have to do our solidarity while being depressed, you know?
That's right.
I think people have to celebrate that we are free here. I mean, like, I know there's some flaws and stuff, but it has nothing to compare to Indonesia right now. Like, could you imagine, like, let's say, making out with your partner, and then, like, there will be people, even if you're not making out with your partner, let's say you just cook together or something like that, and there's people knocking on your door, police climb up to your windows trying to peek to prove that you are a couple, either unlawful hetero couple even, or, like, gay couple, or anything that they don't approve, anything that is outside the hetero marriage law, and they're just going to arrest you. That is such a small thing. It sounds so surreal, for me even right now that I'm in Australia, but it is what's happening right now. I want people to just celebrate and be grateful also. So that night's going to be a kinky party celebration night as well, while gathering funds to support our family and friends. There's going to be like interactive performance art as well. We're going to have a video room as well from Beautiful Agony and from Brandon Armstrong. Yes.
Fantastic. The zine is Penahitam Erotica. The author is Alda. Thanks for joining us on Worldwide Wave.
Thank you so much for supporting us as well.
Some really interesting things. We're going to be, I'm sure, we're going to be looking at Indonesia. Certainly this push to, they're looking to criminalise casual sex, criminalise adultery and recriminalise same-sex sexual relations. So that's on the wish list of the conservative groups in Indonesia at the moment. Yep. And they've got a bit of political sway, which is no good. Good to see that a local here in Melbourne is doing something about it. So the event, the book launch and kinky dance party.
Is there any other kind?
So it's this Friday, the 14th of October, 9 p.m. to 5 a.m. If you can last that long, I'm beyond that, but maybe go for the early bits. It's at 24 Moons Bar, which is 2 Atherton Road in Northcote, this Friday. You can find out more on their Facebook page. So Penahitam Erotica, just search that. And actually, we will post that on our Facebook page after the show as well, which is W3 Joy Worldwide Wave on Facebook.
Receive LGBT news from around the world throughout the week. Like Worldwide Wave on Facebook now.
Hi, I'm Mamikon Hovsepian. I work for Pink Armenia, and our organization deals with LGBT issues here for the Worldwide Wave.
A big thank you to our guest tonight, Alda. She's an artist and author of the fanzine Penahitam Erotica. Now, their event, as we mentioned, this Friday night, you can find it on their Facebook page, search Penahitam Erotica, or go to our Facebook page, W3Joy, and we'll post that there after the show.
We'd love to say thanks to all the Facebook messages. So Angel, Rachel, Cecilia, Anton, Fina, and a heap lot more. They joined us or interacted with us on Facebook, which is W3Joy on Facebook.
And we'd like to thank for our lovely listeners sending us SMSs tonight, Florence 317 and
Hoffler, who came in on Facebook. Thanks for that.
And as always, the lovely Gordon at the front counter.
We are going to go out with Paralyzed by Ains Monica. Now, she is a big star in Indonesia. She's been the judge of Voice and The Voice Kids, and she started her career when she was 6.
We'll catch you next week on Worldwide Wave.
Thanks for listening to another podcast of Worldwide Wave, the show that takes you around the globe, one country at a time. Worldwide Wave is the international news and current affairs show on Australia's LGBT radio station. You can listen live every Tuesday night from 7 Eastern Australia time on 94.9 FM in Melbourne or online at joy.org.au. You'll find all our podcasts at joy.org.au/worldwidewave. Or follow us on Facebook for the latest international LGBT news. Search W3Joy on Facebook now.
Joy 94.9.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.